This is Tracy Parsons of the Progressive Canadian Party. What are the hot issues and what is the platform for the Progressive Canadian Party?
The hot issues are pretty much the same everywhere in the country. All people are concerned about the same things. They're concerned about making a living, putting food on the table, paying their bills. They're concerned about their health care. They're concerned about their children's education. They're concerned about their retirement. I'm finding everywhere that I go, and I do travel a lot, that the concerns really don't change much from place to place.
Mm-hmm.
How you address it changes dramatically from party to party. Some of the key platform highlights for us are going to focus on certainly health care. We believe that we have an excellent health care system in the country that just needs some repairing. You don't throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Mm-hmm.
And why would you throw out one of the world's best health care systems just because it has some problems? So we're really focused on fixing the problems instead of adding a second tier.
Mm-hmm.
That's very important to us. We believe in the Canada Health Act, and we believe we can make it work in this country.
Mm-hmm.
Throwing money at everything is not the solution, although certainly reinvestment in health care is necessary, and it always will be. Sometimes practical solutions are worth taking a good look at.
Okay.
So healthcare is certainly high on our list. Other highlights on our list are going to be things like environment, of course. We believe in the environment. We believe that the country in 20 years that has the cleanest water and the cleanest air is going to be the most viable country in the world to invest in and certainly to live in.
Mm-hmm.
We need to make that a focus in this country, and we believe that we have to keep and exceed our global commitments. We committed to Kyoto. We have to stop talking about it and start making it happen.
Okay.
Other key areas for us are going to be things like education, seniors, agriculture. All of those areas are going to be big focuses for us because they're big focuses for the people who are voting.
All right.
And that's what this is supposed to be about, the voter.
Do you have a more specific outline of what you might do for healthcare?
Well, I mean, I think I gave you a pretty good scope of it. I mean, healthcare, again, we don't believe in the second tier. We don't believe that having money should get you to the front of the line.
Uh-huh.
And I don't believe that a second tier will fix the problem. I can remember when we had a version of two-tier healthcare in Canada. I am, unfortunately, that old. And I remember going to a doctor as a young girl and needing to go see a specialist, and my doctor saying to me, well, the good news is there's two doctors available. You can see one of them tomorrow, but it'll cost you $45.
Uh-huh.
You can see the other one in 3 months. And as a 17-year-old, I didn't have $45. That would be like saying to you, you know, it'll cost you $300.
Yeah.
As a young person. I mean, it was just so beyond the scope of what I could do.
Uh-huh.
That's what a second tier does. So my primary concern is making sure that doesn't happen. Things like home care, for example. When all the health care cuts happened in the mid-90s, we got rid of home care in most areas of Canada. Home care is one of the most effective ways to keep people out of the hospital. Somebody has surgery, most particularly seniors, and you send them home. If you give them home care, they're far less likely to have to be readmitted to hospital.
Okay.
And it's a lot cheaper to pay a home care worker than it is to pay for a hospital bed. So those are the kind of solutions we would look at.
Okay. Would you change the approach towards Kyoto?
We're looking at a lot of ideas. Kyoto is very, very complicated and difficult, and we always mm-hmm. hear that it's just too expensive. You can't do it. It's too expensive for corporations. It's going to bankrupt the nation. And there's no question that there are certain aspects of Kyoto that are going to be a struggle for corporations, and we have to help them do it. There's no question. You don't just say, well, that's it. Just fix it tomorrow no matter what it costs.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you have to say fix it tomorrow. So help them. Find ways. But also, I mean, this is economically a good thing, or it can be if we encourage it. Meeting our global commitments and helping other nations meet theirs by developing new technologies is the way we should be looking at this. We should be the world leader in technologies that help the environment.
Mm-hmm.
That way, you know, not only can we meet our own commitments, but we can make money doing it. It's
mm-hmm.
logical.
Right.
So instead of being afraid of Kyoto, I think we should be embracing it.
Okay. So is there anything else on your platform that, like, reason to vote for you?
Oh, my goodness. There's lots of good reasons to vote for us.
Okay, let's hear them.
We're doing things a little differently. We're approaching things a lot differently. I know that historically people have looked at the smaller parties and said that would waste my vote. But we've watched in the last year and a half that, you know, in a minority government situation, the person sitting across the house from the government is the more important person. They're the ones who hold the balance of power in a minority. And if you've got, you know, one party in government and the other party, a large party, sitting across the house, and they're fairly equal numbers, it's the small groups of people beside them that hold the power of the government. People like Chuck Cadman, you know, where he showed how one man can hold the difference. And I think that's how people need to start looking at us. Historically, people have voted progressive conservative, and that's really who we are. Our name is different, but we're progressive conservatives. And if that's what you voted in the past, just because today we're not running 308 candidates, doesn't mean you can't look at us for the future. And in this election, we're running candidates in most provinces, and you know we're a really viable option. We actually already have one candidate that's polling to win his riding in Quebec.
Okay.
And, you know, so that shows you that, that we have an excellent chance of sitting in that house. So hopefully other people will take a look at our candidates as well.
All right. Would you be able to elaborate a little bit more about how your approach is different?
Well, we're looking at things from integrity is a big issue in this election. And it's a big issue for me personally. I've watched the House of Commons most of my life, and I remember in my younger years, there was so much respect in government. And when you went to vote, you were voting for people you respected. Even if you didn't like somebody's policies, you respected the politician. And we've lost that, and we deserve to have lost it. It's not the fault of the voter. It's the fault of the politician. And we're approaching this from a position of respect. I have asked my candidates to treat all of their opponents with respect. And if they're elected, to go in the House of Commons with the same, the same mentality. We have to... To bring people back into the political process, we have to show them that we deserve it. So that's one of the huge ways that we're different. I'm not going to go into this, and you've seen it today. I'm not going to sit here and bash anybody else. I'm not interested in doing that. I'm going to talk about what I will do and let them do the same. So that's a key way that we are different.
Okay. Anything else you'd like to talk about? It's an open floor.
Excellent. Some of the other things I'd like to talk about, I'll be announcing my education policy next week, so I don't want to get too deeply into that. But I believe a lot of your listeners are students. Is that correct?
Yeah.
It would be safe to say I'm the mother of a university student, and I have another child that starts university in the fall. So I'll have two children in university. And like most Canadians, this is a big deal for us, financially devastating deal for us.
Okay.
United Nations and most of the nations in the world committed to making higher education accessible for all, no matter what. And we aren't supposed to be discriminating on the basis of money.
Right.
And we are doing that in this country. I know that other parties have started coming out with their education policies, and I've noticed that most of them revolve around tax cuts. Tax cuts are delightful things. However, they're not realistic for the people who can't actually afford the education in the first place. And we've really, really put this out. In trying to make it better, we made it worse.
Yeah.
You can get a scholarship if you're if you have very little money. You have a good chance of getting some scholarship money and loans. If your parents have jobs that are decent, but you're not rich, you have no chance of getting loans. You have no chance of getting scholarship money. And your parents can't afford to send you to university. That's the actual reality. That's most people. How many brilliant minds aren't getting into our schools because they can't afford it? So, you know, that's sort of the hint of where we're going with the education policy. It would be safe to say that we're going to be a little different.
Okay. Is there anything with public schools and high schools?
Well, public schools, of course, are the domains of the provinces completely.
Okay.
And, you know, so the federal government can only get so far into it. But that doesn't mean the federal government shouldn't always be the leader in starting discussions. There's still a great deal of inequality across this nation as to the level of education that we receive in the schools.
Okay.
And that's a big deal. You know, I was one of those students who changed schools in high school and suffered because of it, because what I had learned was different from what someone else had learned. So that's certainly one thing. The other thing, you know, sort of goes to criminal justice and the things that are going on in our schools and crime. And, you know, that's where the federal government does play the greatest role in our schools, is working to help reduce the crime with our young people. You know, we're starting to look at older teenagers with suspicion, and that's a terrible thing because of a few bad apples.
Yeah.
So, you know, we need to start focusing a lot more on our juvenile youth offenders, looking at better ways of treating them. And I don't necessarily mean nicer ways. We need to get a lot tougher, and I think most young people would agree, a lot tougher on our young criminals.
Okay.
Because a lot of the victims of those criminals are young people. So we need to really need to crack down on that. So that's very important to me as well.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right.
All right, take care.
And good luck.
Thanks.